New research has revealed that 68% of the Greater Shepparton population is overweight or obese. Australian Bureau of Stats shows that more than 30,000 Greater Shepparton adults are overweight or obese, and 30% of the region's youth aged 2 to 17 years are overweight or obese. The research has found that the rate of obesity varies dramatically across Australia. It seems like there's a big difference between regional Australia and metropolitan Australia. On the line right now, health and fitness expert Sam Wood joins me. Good morning, Sam.
Morning, Shawnee. How are you, mate?
I'm well, thanks. You've read these stats. Why is there a big gap between regional Australia and metropolitan Australia? Do you think it all be the same?
Yes and no. I did see it was in the newspaper last week, the discrepancy between the metropolitan and the regional areas, and it was a greater discrepancy than perhaps I'd thought. It was one of those things that I guess the first thing to note is it's not good in metropolitan areas. So let's not kid ourselves that we're sitting in a good place in metropolitan areas. It's still very, very alarming, but then it's even more alarming in these regional areas. And you know, because it comes down to a number of factors. You know, it's access to good education. It's obviously the socioeconomic factor. It is absolutely an expense to go to the gym or to have a personal trainer or to choose healthier food options. But we absolutely need to look at it as an investment rather than an expense. I think when I really drill down with people on what else they're spending their money on or how important this is to them when they, you know, kind of rank the things that are most important to them, it always comes up, you know, one, two or three at the lowest, their health, you know, with family and these other kind of things. So I think then if we can't invest in something that is the first or second most important thing to us, then we need to reevaluate. But the education factor is a really big thing. I think that we assume kids know more at school. I think we assume even in our adult lives that people are more educated about it. I do lots and lots of education stuff as for my job and as part of my program, and I always start at basics. And it's amazing how many people, highly intelligent, highly educated people, say I had no idea about that. And with these food companies becoming more and more clever with their marketing tactics, and you know, it's confusing, particularly with food. It's very, very confusing. I mean, I can sort of say black and white, try and move your body every day in some way, and most people can understand that. But there's so many tricky tricks that the food companies use. There's so many, you know, in vogue terms that they use. There's health ratings that now people are unsure whether they can trust. I mean, I did an education video from the supermarket yesterday through my 28ers, and we did it live, and we walked down the cereal aisle, and you know, breakfast cereal is probably one of those worst offenders, and the Milo cereal, don't get me wrong, I love a couple of Milos.
Me too.
Much as any Aussie kid.
Yeah.
But the Milo cereal got 4 stars out of 5, so if you didn't really know how to read a food label properly, you would be well within your right.
You'd pick it.
That seems like a pretty good choice, and it has 28 grams of sugar per 100 grams. So it's 28% sugar,
right,
and somehow gets a 4 out of 5. So that's just one example. I'm not here to slam brands, but it's just fascinating that with those kind of tricks and those kind of ratings, it is really, really hard. You can feel like you're quite well-versed and quite well-educated, but until you go to that next level where you really do understand what healthy food is, you start cooking using real food and you understand how to read a food label, it's really, really hard to put a dent in this. And I'm a huge advocate that more needs to be done in school, so I don't understand why food education is not as important as maths and English, and I don't understand why physical education seems to be sliding further and further down the sort of hierarchy of curriculum.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you that, Sam. Look, 68% of the Greater Shepparton population is overweight or obese. Do workplaces and schools have more responsibility?
Workplaces...
Or is it up
really
to the individual? Just do it yourself.
Well, I think that's a bit too simplistic. I think we are products of the environment, and unless, you know, we know overweight kids become overweight adults, and I think just to point the finger and say we need to make better choices is just not fair. You know, we make these choices based on our experience, based on our environment that we're surrounded by, and if we've had a negative experience and we're not surrounded by good role models or other people that have been educated, then I think it's safe to assume that it's just going to continue through the generation. So I absolutely think it starts at home. I think as parents we need to be as good a role models as we can, but obviously if we aren't at a good level of education, it's really, really hard. So we need to sort of go backwards to go forwards, and I'm a huge push that more needs to be done in schools. I think in big corporate environments, you can see a real wellness shift. The amount of companies that I get approached by each year to say, Sam, can you come in and talk to our staff?
Yeah.
Or we're putting a gym in, or we're now introducing Pilates once a week, or we do, you know, rather than the work piss up, we do a healthy version on a Friday lunchtime. You know, there is a definite positive shift in that direction, but as a nation, we still have a long way to go.
Rightio, Sam. For anyone that's looking to maybe get back into it, or that's never actually exercised before, that thinks, "Oh, I haven't got time to go all the way down to the gym and do that." How many minutes per day? Like, is 15, 20 minutes? Are you going to notice a difference a couple of times a week?
Absolutely, you will. I always say something is better than nothing, and the worst thing people can do is wait to get fit before doing something. I completely understand and appreciate it's intimidating. If you've never walked into a gym before, it's been 20 years, that's scary. If you are really worried about how unfit you are going to your first jog or your first long walk, it's scary. But the longer we put it off, the worse it gets. You've just got to do something. Even if you start with 3 minutes and then 5 minutes and then 7 minutes, before you know it, you'll be able to handle 20 minutes of moderate activity, and it'll be the best thing you ever did.
So for those that want to learn more about your program, Sam, how do they find out more about it? You've had dads, you've had mums, you've had Tina, you've had a lot of people get fantastic results. How do they find out more about what you do in your online program?
So my program's 28 by Sam Wood, and mine's all about 28-minute workouts that you can do from home, and helping people understand that you don't have to be a master chef or a nutritionist to understand how to cook well and eat well. So if people are looking for, you know, five different fitness levels, they can start with a workout plan or a great eating plan in which the meals are really quick, really easy, and still taste great, then I'd love to help people. And it's 28bysamwood.com.